We're going to go ahead and continue our post-race media availabilities. We're now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Stephen Doran. Congratulations, Stephen. Thanks for joining us. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we will get a mic over to you. We'll start down here with Zach, and then go to Davey.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Shane getting four wins as a rookie this year. It's been impressive to see what he's been able to do. How do you guys take whatever momentum, and particularly the playoff points that you guys have collected, and turn that into a successful first round to advance and give yourselves a shot at the Roval?
Yeah, having 21 points now helps us. We just have to keep getting better at the Roval.
22.
Perfect. Yeah, having 22 points obviously gives us a little buffer, but we've got to keep building on what we've been doing at the ovals. I think the last couple months has shown that we're in the game now, consistently running top 15. I thought our last oval at Iowa, although it wasn't a great finish, was probably one of our best as far as pace. His restarts are amazing. So I think we're peaking at the right time all around.
I think we talked about this a little bit after Sonoma, but the difference that you've seen in Shane before we got to Chicago and Sonoma to where you guys are now collectively as a team, what has that transition been like as you've seen him get more comfortable, and what has that done for the group at the shop?
Yeah, I think honestly to me the turning point was maybe the All-Star race, the Coke 600, good runs at both of those, and then shortly after go to Mexico and get a win. And then from that point, it just started to roll. And then we get to Sonoma, Chicago, get two more. Yeah, we're in a good spot. The teams, we're having fun. Just keep building. We have a great, great team. Pit crew and road crew. Just an amazing group to work with.
We'll go over here to Davey.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. Steven, going into the season, a lot of people were expecting Shane and you guys to win maybe one or two of these things, right? What were your expectations going into the year, and how did they change maybe after COTA or the All-Star race, or even after you guys kind of got your first one relative to what they were going in?
Yeah, I don't know that I really set expectations on wins. I knew that if we executed like we have been, we had a chance at more than one for sure. I think the owner's expectations were higher. He said, let's go win all of them. So we've come close.
Any other questions? Come down here to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. When you are in a dominant position like you guys typically are on these type of courses, it's up to the competition to do some different things. How challenging is it from your perspective to stay ahead of the different darts that are being thrown that maybe are not as traditional? And I don't know if you've seen is the garage doing some different things, or are you guys just better at them than at the same formula?
Yeah, I think you're alluding to strategy. Yeah, we know there's going to be people throwing Hail Marys a little bit to try to catch a caution or just do something different than us. We just try to stay on offense. I try to keep him where he's always on offense. So like maybe the biggest decision today was when to pit in the third stage, and everybody that was on our strategy had come. We were just kind of pacing off the 24, knowing that he was the first one on our strategy. And as soon as it looked like we'd be close to not coming out in front of him is when we pit. Luckily, there was no cautions in between. And then from then on, you're just praying for no cautions, because there were some cars that just ran super long, pitted 10-ish laps after us. So if a caution comes after that, it gets a little dicey, similar to Sonoma. But yeah, luckily it just ran straight through.
How much did it play or help you guys that second, third, and fourth just did a two-stop strategy? So, you know, you guys had the fresher tires at the end where they were trying to stretch things out, and that seems like that's just a huge advantage for you guys.
Yeah, I think the advantage came when we started stage three. We restarted 12th and had a group of us that were all on the same strategy, Ross, maybe the 20, and he gapped those guys. He put 10 cars in between us and them. That was probably the turning point in the race where we had a huge upper hand from that point. We had a big gap back to them, and it allowed us to run a little longer than we probably would have.
Yeah, just gave him more freedom to do.
Yeah.
We'll go over here to the left to Chris.
ChrisKnight, Steven, congratulations. With SVG getting better on the ovals and going back to a lot of the same ovals for the second time in the playoffs, how much of a benefit do you think that'll be to the team?
Yeah, I think going back to some of these places for a second time is going to be huge. He's such a quick learner. You look at some of these places like Darlington, the second half of the race, he was honestly a top 10 car. Drove through the field kind of and got a top 20 out of it, but I look forward to going to that place especially. I think we have a shot to run top 10 at Darlington. And then some of these others, I think, will be a lot better than the first time as well. Yeah, super speedways, he's excellent at, so.
There any final questions? She's coming. Sorry. It's okay.
Talking to Chris Gabehart, I think he referenced, he felt that he said a lot in your four wins, they finished second to you guys with four different drivers. How much of a, you know, that's a very good organization. What kind of a competition and what kind of a challenge has it been to stay ahead of those guys in these last four wins?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to beat Gibbs and Hendrick. Although these races may look easy at times, no cup race is easy to win. So it's a huge accomplishment when you can beat them. I didn't realize that they finished second in all of them, but pretty cool to beat them.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, Stephen, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
We'll wrap up our post-race media availabilities with our race winner, Shane Van Gisbergen. Congratulations. We'll go ahead and open up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we will bring a mic over to you. We'll go here to Dustin and then to Matthew.
Dustin, you know, Shane, Stephen was just in here mentioning, like, how no cup race is easy to win. You obviously make it look pretty easy. So, like, from your standpoint, how hard is it for you?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Like the first stint, Ryan was driving really well and his car looked really good, a little bit better than ours at that stage. And then at the end of stage two, when all the pitting was happening and all the strategies sort of went their separate ways, I really didn't know how it was going to be. And I just had an amazing restart, start to stage three, managed to pass people before the tires got hot and got a gap on all the people that were on the same strategy as me. And yeah, definitely not easy. Like the last stint was okay, but that stint, you know, that's when I was pushing flat out, and yeah, pretty cool to do that. And then you get that tire delta as well, and I could sort of cruise and know that I had decent tires if the late yellow came. Thank you.
We'll go to Matthew, and then down here to Zach.
Matthew Blackley, Race Face Digital. Shane, in the recent Cup Series races at road courses, do you feel like the other drivers have improved and gotten closer to you in terms of road racing ability?
I just think they're good anyway, you know. I think the difference has been that I'm with a team full time this year and I've been able to develop the setup and fine tune it to the way I want. And I last year I kind of just jumped in and got the Trackhouse car delivered to Corlig, and then the Corlig guys would run it. Whereas this year, I'm all involved in the setup, trying to learn every week, and I really feel like as a team we've been able to tailor the car to my needs, and I think we have gotten better rather than, you know, anything else. I think we turn up to the track, we know what our tools are, our tuning tools. I know what I want the car to feel like, and you know, this year, like this Monday, was a really intense meeting trying to improve on what we had last year, and got here on yesterday and the car felt night and day different. So yeah, I think it's just us as a team getting better.
We'll go to Zach.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Shane, congratulations. First and foremost, what are the emotions of this one, particularly, especially after the frustration of last year and how that race ended a year ago?
Yeah, it certainly makes up for it. And then I went to bed pretty angry yesterday, you know, to junk a car and have another DNF. It was, I was pretty angry, sad last night. So nice to just clear the head this morning and come here and just have a great day. Like, executed from the start, no mistakes. And yeah, just it means everything. This is why we work so hard. And yeah, to get another win, it's pretty darn cool.
Four cup wins this year, most ever by a rookie. What has this run meant to you personally, is against a lot of guys that you respect, and you understood the challenge that it was coming in here to find the success that you have had on a pretty regular basis now? What has that meant to you personally?
Yeah, as I said, it means everything. Like, the prep that we go through, and not just for these road courses, but we do it every week. And yeah, as I've said a lot of times over the last few weeks, I feel like we've gotten a lot better, and especially on the ovals. And it's just been cool working with a great bunch of people, and yeah, just to share four wins with everyone, and you know, seeing how much it meant to everyone when, you know, you're high-fiving during the burnout, you can see how into it they are. It's yeah, it's so cool.
And lastly, I saw Bubba and Daniel also came to Victory Lane to congratulate you as well. While you're still, I mean, kicking their butts on the racetrack, I mean, they also still respect you enough to come give you those kudos. What is that like, managing that balance as a competitor?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, how you want it to be with everyone. You want it to be respectful but hard racing, and, you know, it pays back. Like, in the third stint, a couple of people let me go, and they're guys I'd say I'm sort of friendly with, you know, and I would do the same for them, and I do it on the ovals when they come at me with a big speed difference. It's just respect you build up with people and friendships, and yeah, there's pretty much everyone in the garage is, you know, nice guys, and I enjoy racing all of them. Yeah.
We'll go to Chris, and then we'll come down here to Holly.
ChrisNightCatchNuts.com. Shane, congratulations. Last year you scored a top 10 finish at the Roval. This year, obviously, you're going forward to become the most rookie or driver in the Cup Series to win five consecutive road courses. How do you feel about the Roval, and do you feel like that you have to do more prep work for that race, knowing what's at stake being in the round that can propel you to the round of eight?
Yeah, I did that race last year in a Corlig car, and it was a fast car, but we didn't quite get it right in the race. Yeah, it's a funky, odd track, but pretty cool challenge, and I think it races well. So yeah, that's in the second round, I believe. So looking forward to that. And but yeah, I think we got plenty of races before then, but that'll be obviously a good one for us if we make it to the second round.
Go to Holly.
Hi, Shane. Congratulations. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. I wanted to kind of revisit the big deal of winning four races as a rookie. What does that kind of mean to you? Because not only is that eclipsing marks by some legends and Hall of Famers in the sport, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, course you're winning on, road courses, whatever, but that's really such a huge accomplishment. And you've had so many in your career and other series too, but how does this stand out to you?
Yeah, it means everything. That's why I moved here, you know, and that's why I guess Justin believed in me and he knew I could do this. And yeah, it's, like I've changed my life to come and do this and to come and make true of what everyone believed in me and to execute myself and get everything right. It's, it's why I go racing. And as I said, like sharing it with those people and seeing how much it means to the guys who work every week so hard on the car and their pit stops. And yeah, it's so cool. It means the world to everyone. And then next week we'll see the guys at the shop and who did all the prep work too. And yeah, it's just I love the team environment, and it was a great day for the team. We had all three in the top 10 for the first time. So for Trackhouse, it's huge.
Does it ever, do you ever sit there and think, this is good?
Yeah, it normally hits me, on the plane ride home or 4 a.m. after a few beers. But yeah, I try to reflect on it, but I also try and get to the next week pretty quick as well. And yeah, I'll try not to tweet at 4 a.m. tonight, but this morning. But I do nowadays. Maybe I'm too old, but we're getting old. But I just try and reflect and take in the moment a bit more. And you know, today was really special. Never had my dog in Victory Lane before, and my dad as well. You know, he hasn't been able to travel all year, being sick. And yeah, to have him here for the next 3 weeks and have a win with him, it's just really cool to have that moment.
We'll come right here in the front, and then we'll go to Davey.
Yeah, Andrew Laguerre from the Elmira Star Gazette. I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit on your dad and, you know, when he came here. And yep. I'm wondering, had he seen you race in the United States before?
Yes, he came to Chicago, and then he came two or three times last year. But yeah, it's been pretty difficult. He lost his wife, my mother, and then his sister, and then his mum a month or so ago. So it's been a really rough run for Dad. And yeah, it's hard to support him when I'm on the other side of the world. That's probably why I'm the most homesick, you know. So, and then my sister's moved away as well, so he's kind of by himself all of a sudden. So yeah, it's I try and talk to him every day, and yeah, to have him here, and like he was in almost in tears too. So it's really special to share that, because yeah, we're a long way from home.
Go to Davey.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. Are you a numbers guy, Shane, that pays attention to all these records that you're breaking and things that you're doing, or is it kind of just, okay, great, move on to the next?
Yeah, not really. I think that's kind of an American thing. They love stats here and adding things up. I'm not really, but when I retire, I guess I will be. And but at the moment, no, I just do it, yeah.
Steven was saying that once you guys got through COTA and then the All-Star race he pointed to is kind of one of those pivotal moments that you guys were able to figure it out as a team, and they were able to give you what you were looking for in the car on road courses, but also on ovals. Is that kind of a time period that you would point to as well to maybe turn the corner for you guys as a team so far this year?
Yeah, I think probably the Charlotte. We had a little test at Charlotte actually before Wilkesboro and sort of found some things and what I needed from the car. And then, yeah, it was like a light bulb moment. You know, it was only the race before the main one in Wilkesboro, but to lead the race and kind of feel what I needed and get that flow in the car, like, it's just, it's a lot about rhythm and car placement. And yeah, when you kind of feel it on an oval and get it once, it's like, oh, okay, it kind of clicks. And that's been happening more and more. And yeah, it's, you know, Steven's really good, and Josh Williams, also my spotter, and letting me know what people are doing and what I need to do. And yeah, the weekly meetings we have, it's been great. I think we're making big steps, that's for sure.
We'll come down here to Zach and then to Dustin.
You mentioned you feel like you guys are making big steps. The playoffs are only a couple of weeks away at this point. As you look ahead to that, where is your focus? Is it the tracks within that first round? I know you've talked about how much you look forward to getting back to Darlington. Yeah. Is that the priority for this 88 team as we get to this part of the season?
Yeah, and probably the one we'd most be worried about is Bristol. Like, I ran terrible there. It was like Bristol was so far from anything I've ever done, and that's a really tough place. So that's probably the biggest worry. But yeah, Darlington, I feel fine, but I think you just have to have, especially now we have a lot of points too, I think you just got to have three solid weeks and, you know, you might get through. So we just have to play the averages, make no mistakes, and make sure we're in a good spot every week, and who knows how far we'll get.
Coming to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, talked with Connor earlier today, and he referenced that you had talked to him about you had a similar injury. I understand not all injuries are the same, but can you give a sense of what it is like to compete with a collarbone injury since you have gone through that to some degree?
Yeah, so I broke my collarbone 2021, left side, which is, mine was a bit out by the AC. I did a bit more damage to my shoulder, and then also I had a fake ligament put in. But I had a weekend off, and then I raced the next week. So pretty much what he's going to go through. And yeah, but once the plate's in there, it's stronger than the bone was, you know. So
I'd get a plate put in and then take it out at the end of the year. But yeah, it's obviously going to be in pain. My biggest problem was the belts, tightening of the belts. I could really feel the plate through my, through the skin, and it was a horrible feeling. But yeah, I raced the next week and did pretty well. So yeah, for sure, with some good doctors and some good drugs, he'll get through the race fine.
And I'm going blank, so forgive me, but in seeing how you got out of the car, I think you usually don't, you're not too demonstrative, but you kind of climbed out almost as if you were climbing out of the car in victory lane. Was that, is that kind of how you've done it? Was that just as much because of yesterday and just?
I didn't think of that. Like, obviously he's in our thoughts. I didn't want to do that. I always have bad dreams of slipping over and doing that in front of everyone, but yeah, I just got out like I normally did, but I definitely didn't get on the roof in victory lane.
Any final questions? We'll take one right back there, and then we'll wrap with Chris.
Oliver Sajak, the podium finish. As the regular season is winding down, how much of a confidence booster is a win like this for you and your team, knowing that the round of 16 is around the corner and playoff points are so key?
Oh, it's huge. Like, you can feel it in the workshop the week after or the weeks after, you know, right from Ross's win at the 600. You just feel like a huge uplift at the shop, how motivated everyone is, and you know, everyone's walking out, you know, chest out, all happy. It's a winning is why we do it, you know. It's an amazing feeling, and it's good to just keep that momentum going for the team. And as I said, three cars in the top 10, like, it's great for our team. And yeah, just need to keep the positivity there, keep working hard, and yeah, we'll just keep building.
Go ahead, Chris.
Shane, I'm assuming your dad's going to be around for Richmond and Daytona?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. You've shown a lot of speed and finesse on the super speedways. What would that mean to you if you could close out the regular season with a win, knowing it would be your first oval win and obviously catapult you into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's obviously something to dream about, winning on an oval and super speedways. I've had some pretty good moments there. And yeah, last year, I think Talladega, you know, Kulig was a smaller team. Dad was on the front row of the pit box, you know, helping with the strategy or talking with Travis Mack on the strategy. You know, he loves it. So yeah, I'd love to have a good result with him the next couple of weeks. And, you know, he's driving the bus for me with his friend Jason to those races. And yeah, it's just I'll probably drive to Daytona with him. And yeah, it'll be a good time, you know, like we used to do.
Can you talk about your craft for super speedway and how you've been able to master it so in a short amount of time?
Yeah, I've found like the Atlanta racing is a bit, you need a bit more driving skill, whereas Talladega, there's, you know, it's just that bravery, or Daytona, that bravery and putting your car in the right place and knowing the proximity of your car. That's where, you know, like if I watch someone like Ryan Blaney or even Ricky Stenhouse is amazing. He normally qualifies where we do, and just how he finds himself in all those holes to get him up near the front. It's amazing how they can see where the momentum is, and yeah, and then all of a sudden the race slows down and, you know, you're driving around at 30% throttle, but he's got all that track position and you wonder how he got there. So yeah, it's just my confidence in being aggressive and, you know, not aggressive, but confident in my moves and car placement. And yeah, I feel like I've come along a long way, and yeah, who knows how we'll go in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I do and I don't enjoy those super speedway races. I love the technicality of them, but we're also like lambs to slaughter, and sometimes it feels like just getting ready for the field to grenade. It's fun, but it's also not.
All right, Shane, thanks for your time today, and congratulations on the win.
Thanks, everyone.